joining the court. Is it Ms. Osborne?
Yes, Your Honor.
Good morning to you. You may proceed.
Thank you. May it please the court, my name is Abby Osborne of Schiffer Miller Law Office, and I represent the appellant Kim Thompson in this matter. I would like to reserve 2.5 minutes for rebuttal. This is an appeal of a motion for summary judgment, and I believe that this court will reach the appropriate conclusion that the trial court erred in granting summary judgment and remand the matter to trial for the presentation to the jury. This is a county court appeal to the district court and then on to the appellate level. The trial court, in their opinion, and that being both trial courts actually issued opinions, but the county court finding, Judge Bezos, it made a lengthy factual finding which gave great weight to the Johnson side of the story, the appellees, failing to recognize and give appropriate weight to the evidence that contradicts their denial of ill motives and failing to give weight to the evidence that contradicts the truthfulness of their claims going forward. The trial court defied the longstanding holdings of this court and the United States Supreme Court that summary judgment is proper only when there are no genuine issues as to the inferences that may be drawn from those facts. I think typically we think of summary judgment as there's no issues as to the material facts, but also the case law in Boyle, Community First Bank, Holtis, Ranke, I mean, on and on, the standard case law is that summary judgment is only appropriate when there are no genuine issues as to the inferences as well, and the inferences must be drawn in light of the non-moving party, in this case, the appellant. It didn't happen in this case, and unfortunately, I don't believe that the inferences themselves are viewed in many of these cases that come before the court on summary judgment, and the question that's decided is strictly with relation to the facts and not the application of the inferences.
Is the big issue here truthfulness?
I think that truthfulness is a large issue in the county court's decision and in the argument raised by the appellee. And I think that certainly if I'm asking to view truthfulness, then that gets into a credibility determination. And we're not to be giving credibility determinations at a motion for summary judgment. However, we are supposed to be giving weight to the non-moving party. And when the non-moving party is able to look at a very specific action and statement of the appellee that is disproved by other evidence within the case, then that whole statement and then the actions that fall from that statement become even more suspect. We're looking at intentional infliction of emotional distress, and we are essentially arguing over two prongs of that five-prong test, whether or not there's unjustified interference, and then proof as to whether or not that interference caused that harm. I think that the truthfulness goes to the whether or not it was unjustified and should have been applied with that seven-factor test that's been used in Huff and otherwise from the restatement.
Can you be a little more specific as to this record and what facts you think are in dispute?
I think, and
to what element they pertain?
I think most importantly, in the facts of this case, it's an ongoing sexual affair between a married man and the appellant. Then the affair stops, and there's this back and forth between the appellant, Mr. Johnson, and then Mrs. Johnson, and there's this interplay of all these things that are going on and who's telling who and who's talking to the appellant's employer and what's happening. And Mr. Johnson is communicating with the appellant in March of that year via his work email and is resuming contact with her and threatening to cause a scene at her employment and insisting that she begin having contact with him again. So in February and March of that year, he's communicating with her with his work email. And then further interactions happen. Both parties are allegedly using...
Which facts do they dispute?
Whether or not the accusation is that the appellant use her role as a contractor or as an employee for Millard Public Schools, that would be the contract of employment, to gain access to his email that was on file with Millard Public Schools. And the claim is that she's using her employment to interfere with or to obtain these rights. And the false allegation then made by the Johnsons to Millard Public Schools was that she was doing this and that created a concern of safety for their children, that she would obtain this through nefarious purposes, when in fact she obtained this email address through Mr. Johnson's own communication and resumption of communication with Ms. Thompson.
Is that where you're going? That she's let go because she used a work email, but in fact it was supplied outside the work circumstance?
I think the larger argument is that many of the concerns that Ms. Johnson raised in her email and then at the meeting with Millard Public Schools were presented falsely to Millard Public Schools, and that they were presented with not the true motive of protection of the children's safety, but the motive of attempting to have Ms. Thompson terminated, which in fact happened, and there's evidence of threats by Mr. Johnson and Ms. Johnson related to the appellant's employment, and then they bring these false claims, and that's one of the full sections of argument in the appellee's brief, is that truthful statements then cannot constitute tortious interference, when in fact these are not true statements. These are statements that are blatantly false, and the email address part is an example of...
Which statements are blatantly false?
That Ms. Thompson had no other means of accessing and did not have prior knowledge of the email address. That was included in the email and then discussed at the meeting. The specific email address that was only... the only way she could have obtained that email address was through her employment at Millard Public Schools, and that somehow that employment granted her access to be able to obtain the school records of the children in order to get this email address.
Why
was she let go? That's also in litigation. But she was let go due to the false claims of the Johnsons, raising them in the summer of that year. The school district had already made determinations and had been...
Let her go for insubordination?
Well, essentially...
Inappropriate contact?
That's their...
Their stated reason
is that it was the inappropriate contact, and it was specifically the fact that Ms. Thompson pinned something on Pinterest that Ms. Johnson had also pinned, and that was why she was let go, because that contact occurred subsequent to this meeting. But the facts are that she disclosed the resumed contact, she disclosed the action she took in making the online journal. There's this baiting and interaction between both parties that the Johnsons are using false online accounts and things to access Ms. Johnson's journal and threatening her employment. Ms. Johnson is posting on Facebook that she's going to have the appellant terminated, or alluding to that, and then goes to Millard Public Schools with a false statement that includes the absolute blatantly false statement that Ms. Thompson obtained this email address through nefarious purposes, when in fact Mr. Johnson, in resuming his contact in this affair, had been communicating with Ms. Thompson.
So are you saying that the inference from the wife's postings would suggest the interference with the business relationship?
Yes, I believe that, and I believe especially when coupled with the fact that the inference happened simultaneously with the false statements, that is the inference that any reasonable juror could conclude, is that Ms. Johnson went to Millard Public Schools with the intent of having Ms. Thompson terminated. Mr. Johnson supported it, did not disclose the fact that he had communicated with her, so he assisted in...
Did the Johnsons actually say that your client got this information from Millard Public School records?
Yes, I believe that the email actually makes that allusion, or in one of the depositions, and I apologize, this was a pro se litigant prior to the appeal, and so I did not participate. I can't recall if it's in the depositions regarding the meeting or in the email itself, but there's an admission by the Johnsons that that is their belief, that the only way Ms. Thompson could have obtained that email address was by accessing the children's school files through Ms. Thompson's employment.
And is that in the record anywhere?
Yes. I just can't recall specifically whether or not it's a statement within the email or whether or not it's in the deposition testimony that's in part of the record.
But that's not why they fired her, is it? I mean, they never conclude that that's where she got the email. That's not the basis of why they fired her, is it?
I think that the basis of why they fired her is these accusations that she was inappropriately using her job, her access and authority through this job. And the question of if we're questioning why they fired her, then that is a question that's in dispute from the evidence. Because the inference is that but for the interaction by the Johnsons in June of that summer, the Millard Public School District would not have taken further action against Ms. Thompson than the decisions that they already made based on her mental health and her disclosure of the resumption of contact by Mr. Johnson to her. See that I am out of time. I would respectfully request that this court remand the matter for trial before the county court. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Wright, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mr. Hey, please, the court. I'm Damian Wright, and I represent the appellees of Thompson in this matter. I think the court has keyed in on the key issue here. I tried to read through the appellant's brief to understand what factual dispute they thought there was. Best I could discern, they were raising two issues. One, this dispute about whether or not Ms. Thompson had access to this email or previously knew about it. The other issue is the allegation that Shauna Johnson's concerns for her children were somehow fabricated. The problem with that is that neither of those were the reason that she was terminated from public schools. And we took the deposition of the school district's HR person who was involved in this dispute, Mr. Meisgeier. He laid out the reasons for her termination, asked why was this decision made, and what he came back with was insubordination. And if you look at the history of her employment and issues, she had been reprimanded back in October of 2020 for using school computers to conduct personal business. A specific letter written in March of 2014, and this wasn't, to be clear, there was this meeting between Ms. Thompson and she was going to meet with some Millard Public School officials. It had nothing to do with the Johnsons. They were going to talk about some other performance issues. Mrs. Thompson spontaneously tells the Millard Public School officials that she's still been communicating with Mr. Johnson, and she kind of lays these issues out, that personal conflict. After this meeting, they send out a letter. They call it an action letter. 12 different issues related to performance. Issue number 5 says, you brought up these issues with Mr. Johnson. You've had problems with this in the past where it's affected your job performance. With any further problems, you could be terminated. Behind you, we expect you to de-escalate the situation.
Is that an act of insubordination? That's one of the basis of the termination?
That's why in July, when they received this information from Shauna Johnson, at that time it's insubordination. It's you didn't listen. We gave you a letter in March telling you we expected you to de-escalate the situation. Shauna Johnson sends this letter in July of 2020. She says, I have concerns about my children. I'd like to meet with you. She never requests that Ms. Thompson be fired. She says, I'm concerned for the safety of my children. She sends a link to Facebook. Says, this is what I'm talking about. The Millard Public School officials on their own go on Facebook, print these things out. They confront Kim Thompson with them. Kim Thompson, as Mr. Meisgeier testified, he said she essentially admitted it. And even now in her pleadings and in the court case, she's never come out and said, those weren't my Facebook postings, text messages. All of it is there. All of it was confronted with it. She said, yes, I did it, essentially. As per their standard procedure, they said, we're going to place you on administrative leave, paid administrative leave. That's what they do whenever they have a complaint from any parent of a child in the district. They said, while we're investigating this, do not have any contact with the Johnsons. She did have contact with the Johnsons. And by the way, I asked Mr. Meisgeier in his deposition, when she was placed on administrative leave, had there been any decision made to terminate her? He said, no, it was not a foregone conclusion. We're going to investigate it. We're going to talk amongst ourselves and decide what to do. While she was on administrative leave, she then directs this Pinterest communication to Shauna Johnson. I'm not a tech-savvy person, but she directs this communication to Shauna Johnson. That's why the school district is coming.
So are there credibility issues, for example, in what the school district is saying through the person you just talked about, and is it proper in summary judgment to make credibility determinations?
Your Honor, in this case, I don't think there was any dispute. There was no facts that came out during that deposition that would indicate otherwise. Mrs. Thompson, I understand she was acting pro se at that time, but if she wanted to depose somebody else from Miller Public Schools, or if she wanted to create a record as to some other reason that she was fired, then there may be a factual dispute. But the only testimony we have is Mr. Meisgeier. The reason I deposed him is because he was intimately involved in handling this situation. And he was in the HR department, so I figured, no, that's what he said.
I think what we're trying to do is root around for what facts are in dispute that are material to an element in the cause of action as framed by the pleading.
I would agree. Best I can tell, the appellant's position as well as this factual dispute regarding where she got this email address about, but that never came up during Mr. Meisgeier's deposition. Nothing in the record that indicates that had anything to do with her termination. That's never been given as a reason for her termination.
So it may be in dispute, but not material? Is that
correct.
Your view?
Yes.
I'm sorry, is there anything in the record that helps us understand what the process of repinning a Pinterest post is? What sort of contact that involves with someone else's account? Is there anything that explains that?
The only thing I can think of is it might be in Shauna Johnson's affidavit. Briefly, Your Honor, my understanding, and again, I'm not... my understanding is that Pinterest is a digital space where people can post recipes, photos of shopping items, saying I like this, you know. And then other people can see those digital boards, and they can, if they like something, they can repin it to their own digital. And when you repin something from someone's board, Pinterest online service automatically sends the original person an email saying, hey, this other person pinned something from your board. So this happened, again, right after Mrs. Thompson was placed on Shauna Johnson gets this notice from Pinterest, hey, Kim Thompson posted something from your board.
And the inference from that is that there was contact that had been prohibited.
Correct. I think it's hard to read anything other than Kim Thompson was placed on administrative leave, that she somehow randomly went to Ms. Johnson's Pinterest board and said, hey, I happen to like this recipe. Strained credulity. Say that the mistress went to the wife's online space and just happened to like a recipe right after she.
I think we're to amplify Justice Stacy's question. Is there an assumption here that it's public knowledge how Pinterest works, so that if the appellant were to post something, then the folks that are interested in that topic will invariably receive the notice of it. And if so, is that a direct contact by the appellant?
Your Honor, I don't think that is analysis, because I think the real analysis is that public schools did its own investigation. Miller Public Schools was satisfied that Tim Thompson should be terminated for insubordination.
Because they said don't reach husband and wife, and she did so. Did she do so directly or through this social media mechanism?
Well, she did throw so through the social media mechanism. Your Honor, one point I would make is that I think the Resio case is very much on point, and I think the underlying policy of the Resio case state courts is an exception for my truthful information as I have part of the policy rationale mentioned, that when there's information provided to somebody, in this case of the school's Resio case, say, the employer does their own investigation. The employer also has to make their own analysis that they're going to do, and they're going to decide whether or not they want to terminate that employee. That's what the public school approval organization would do. And so, whether it was direct contact or indirect contact, I believe that's the standard.
And so, is it the source of that in the record, Mr. Meisner's deposition? We did our own investigation, and here's what we found. Appellant directly contacted the appellee. Is that what it says?
What it says is we placed her on administrative leave, told her not to talk, so we have communication. I don't know back and words, but basically said, don't have contact with the Johnsons.
And she did so. Did he amplify that, how she did it?
I think his understanding, social media was about her own mind, so I don't think in his deposition he quite knew all the how the mechanism actually works. But again, there's been no allegation from Mrs. Thompson that, hey, I didn't do this. It's odd to me that we're trying to create a factual issue without facts that she doesn't dispute. The basis of the emails and all these other things, after multiple schools told her. See that I'm out of time, unless there are any other questions.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal? There is no time for rebuttal. We will go on to the